Well, it's so good to have you here on Celebration Resurrection Sunday, and what a great day it is. Have you ever wondered what bunny rabbits and colored eggs have to do with the resurrection of Jesus? Short answer, nothing. But there is a longer answer, and the longer answer goes like this, that rabbits and eggs are both symbols of springtime and new life in many ancient Near Eastern cultures. In fact, some historians claim that the tradition of hiding colored eggs in a field for children to find dates back to ancient Babylon many centuries before Jesus was born. And no one is quite sure where the name Easter came from. But there are several theories about it. Some say it comes from the ancient Germanic calendar because their word for April is actually Easter. And others believe that the name Easter is derived from Eostre or Esther, the Anglo-Saxon goddess of spring for whom a spring festival was held annually. Still others see a connection to the Babylonian goddess of spring called Ishtar or the Phoenician goddess Astarte. But far from attempting to Christianize any pagan springtime festival, early Christians chose to establish a rival celebration, if you will, for the resurrection of Jesus, which took place on the Sunday morning following the Passover celebration in early spring. Jesus essentially usurped springtime celebrations of all sorts all across the globe, and early Christians readily adopted the eggs as a symbol of new life and birth. In fact, downstairs in our Kingdom Kids ministry downstairs, they have what's called resurrection eggs. And inside the eggs, you will see all these little symbols that help tell the story of Jesus. And so while the world has all but forgotten the Greco-Roman gods of the ancient, of the ancient mythology, we are reminded every year that 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ arose from the grave and changed the world forever. But let me ask you, what difference does Easter make? Does it really matter? How does it impact the way you live on a daily basis? Even people who believe Jesus rose from the grave on the third day sometimes have difficulty articulating its relevance to their lives. So whether you are a follower of Jesus or still examining his claims, I want to invite you to travel back with me to the first Easter morning, Resurrection Sunday, when Jesus appeared to his followers and explored the significance of the resurrection and the difference it can make in your life. In John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23, it says this: "That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders." Now, why were they afraid? Well, they just saw the one that they were following for the 3+ years, or for 3 years, they put him to death. And they saw the power of the authorities of that time. And so they thought, if they're going to do this to Jesus, what are they going to do to his followers? So they were hiding behind closed doors. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds on his hands and his side, and they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Verse 22, then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Verse 23, "If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." And then we're going to skip down to verses 30 and 31, and it says this: "The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will live by the power of his name." By the power of his name. Anyone familiar with the Gaithers at all. Maybe you've listened to the Gaithers. Maybe some of you still have Gaither music at home and that. Well, Bill and Gloria Gaither have written many songs over the years. And Gloria wrote one particular song in the 1960s while she was expecting their first child. Bill had been seriously sick because the couple was going through a really difficult patch, and Bill was seriously sick. Their music was being heavily criticized for not being spiritual enough. And on New Year's Eve, Gloria writes, "I sat alone in the darkness thinking about the rebellious world and all of our problems, and about our baby yet unborn. Who in their right mind would bring a child into a world like this? But then something happens," she said. "I can't quite explain what had happened in the next moment, but suddenly I felt a release from it all. The panic that had begun to build inside of me gently dispelled by the reassuring presence and the soft voice that kept saying, 'Don't forget the empty tomb. Don't forget the empty tomb.' Then I knew I could have that baby and face the future with optimism and trust, for I had been reminded that it was all worth it just because he lives." Out of that experience came this song, and I'll read some of its lyrics. "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living just because he lives. He lives." When Jesus got up and walked out of the tomb, he changed everything. He changed it all. He changed it all for you and for me, the whole world. With our time remaining, I want to share with you three simple ways that the resurrection can impact our lives and has impacted the lives of people for over two millennia. The first one is because he lives, we have peace. We have peace. When Jesus appeared to his disciples that first Easter Sunday, the first words out of his mouth is, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." The peace that Jesus spoke of was more than just a sense of calmness or tranquility, right? It was the Hebrew word shalom, and it means a wholeness, completeness, serenity, and harmony of life. At the very center of this peace is peace with God, reconciliation with the one who breathed life into the entire universe. When God created humanity, Adam and Eve, he gave them the garden that was as perfect, was a perfect paradise. He came and he walked with them and he talked with them, and they had peace with God. Then came the tragedy of disobedience, which led to sin in entering the world. That wonderful peace that was there in the beginning was shattered, and chaos entered our atmosphere. The earth, the animals, humanity, the entire universe were all affected by sin. And ever since then, sin has created a barrier between God and humanity. There's been this chasm, there's been this blockage between us. No matter how hard we tried or what we did, we always would come up short. Our good enough was never good enough. And as a result, we would be eternally separated from God forever. Isn't that great? Welcome to Easter Sunday at Abundant Life Chapel. Why don't we pray and go home all depressed today? But listen, there's more. There's more to the story. There always is. See, there's good news. God didn't leave it undone like that. He didn't leave it like that. You see, he always had a plan. And our sin separates us from God. Nothing we could ever do will ever change that. But peace with God is an equation that only he can change. Only he can fulfill it. It was up to God to find a way to change the equation. And God's love became the great motivator of that change. But listen, I want to tell you something. God didn't sit there up in heaven when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and said, "Oh, shoot, now what? Guess we better come up with a plan. What do you think, Jesus? What do you think, Holy Spirit? Should we?" No. Jesus was already in the equation from the very beginning. See, God foresees the what came before, what is present, and what is beyond. He sees it all in one snapshot, And he already had the solution. He already had it. But here was his great motivator, and his great motivator is so wonderfully articulated in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, so that everyone," everybody say everyone. Everyone means what? Everyone. I looked it up in the Greek. Just kidding. "Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." So that everyone who believes in him, everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. His shed blood was the only way that we could get out of this mess. Jesus died and he rose from the grave so that you and I could have peace with God. Because he lives, we can have peace with God. Because of him, we can have a personal relationship with the creator of the universe, the creator of all things. And because of that personal relationship, we can talk with him. We can ask for him for forgiveness of our sins, and we can depend on him in times of trouble. We can experience his love, his mercy, and his compassion. Because of Jesus, we can have peace with God. We can have peace with God. Number two, because he lives, we can have purpose. We can have purpose. Doesn't everybody want purpose in your life? You want purpose in your life? You know where we really want purpose? Is in our pain and in our suffering. We want to know that there's purpose behind it. We don't want to see it wasted on nothing, right? And so we have purpose. I want you to catch the next thing that Jesus said, and he tells his disciples here in verse 21 of John chapter 20, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Well, where is he sending them? Everywhere. He's sending them everywhere. They were being commissioned and sent out. Melanie and I happened to be in Israel in 2012, in the spring of 2012, and it was a beautiful time to be there. It was amazing. I mean, life-changing. Seeing the Bible unfold in front of you. I always say it's like the Bible in 3D. You get to see everything. You get to visit the places that Jesus visited. You get to see the different the places and monuments and all of those kind of things. But what I love about this especially was when we were there, I forgot what touring site we were at. We came back to the old Jerusalem city and we were staying in old Jerusalem, and we were hungry. It was about supper time, early evening, and so we thought, oh, well, we'll go to the Jewish quarter, because in the Jewish quarter of Jerusalem, they had this wonderful burger joint. And it was awesome. The only problem is there was no cheese on your burger and there was no bacon. So you can imagine the first thing I had when I came back to Canada, a bacon double cheeseburger, all right? But anyways, we had this burger and it was so good. But on our way there, you had to go through by the Wailing Wall, and you had to go through these different checkpoints. And as we were going through, it was just busy. There was like all these soldiers there and all these young adults. And from what we understand in Israel is that every young adult has to commit two or three years to the service in the military there. And so as we're going there, there's this big celebration. I mean, thousands of people. The soldiers, we asked what was going on. The soldier says, "We're being commissioned. We're being commissioned. We're going out. We're getting our orders." And so we got to stand. If you could see it, there's the Wailing Wall and the big open area there. And then you walked up some stairs to the Jewish quarter. And right there is the golden menorah representing the Jewish quarter. And so we're standing up there and we're just seeing the whole mass. And then up on the Wailing Wall is the Prime Minister of Israel giving his commissioning over all these soldiers. It was a most beautiful sight, but they were being sent out. They were excited because they had purpose. There were tears because some of them didn't know if they were coming back or not, but they were being commissioned. They were being commissioned at that point, just like we have all been commissioned to go out. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Their mission should they choose to accept it, was to spread the word about the cross and the empty tomb, to share the message of Jesus with their friends, their neighbors, and relatives. They would use their love, their lives, and their lips to testify about the power of the cross and the promise of eternal life. At some point in your life, you have to ask yourself, where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? Science attempts to answer the first question, and philosophy wrestles with the second question, but only Jesus offers a meaningful answer to all three. The search for the meaning of life has puzzled people for thousands of years, primarily because we typically begin with the wrong starting point, ourselves. We ask self-centered questions like, what do I want to be? What should I do with my life? What are my goals, my ambitions, my dreams, and my futures? But focusing on ourselves will never reveal our true life purpose. I hate to be the one to break it to you, but life is not about you. It's not all about you. It's much bigger than that. And it's not all about me either. It's all about Jesus, the one who died and rose again. It's all about God. And here's what Paul, a first century follower of Christ, wrote to the church in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. He says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. Did you hear that? Jesus existed before anything was created in this world. He was there. When God said, God didn't say at the beginning, let me create man in my image. He said, let us create man in our image, to indicate that Jesus was already on the scene. And his name is supreme over all creation. In verse 16, it says, for through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we cannot see and the things we can see and the things we cannot see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. Because of Jesus, I know why I exist, and I know what I'm supposed to do with my time here on earth. Because he lives, I have purpose. Last thought I want to leave with you is, because he lives, we have purpose. Promise. We have promise. At the end of this encounter with the risen Christ, John tells us in John chapter 20, verse 31, but these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. You will have life by the power of his name. And that's a promise we all can have in Christ. And Jesus said this in John 11, 25 and 26. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Jesus also said this in John 14, 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Peter was quoting these words in the video you just saw beforehand. Peter wasn't saying that he was the way. He was quoting what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. All throughout his ministry, Jesus promised everlasting life to those who believed in him. Jesus said it so clearly in John 10:10, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. It's the abundant life that we have, or that we anticipate as believers and followers of Jesus. Many people today hope and long for a happy life, but Jesus offers so much more. He offers forever, eternity, life without end. The promise of life everlasting is the heartbeat of hope. And the resurrection of Jesus ensures that we too will be resurrected one day. Think of it this way. A Muslim in Africa became a Christian. And some of his friends asked him, why could you have done such a thing? And he answered them, he says, well, it's like this. Suppose you're going down the road and suddenly the road forks in two different directions. You didn't know which way to go, but there at the fork were two men, one dead and one alive. Which one would you ask for directions? Easter is so much more than candy, colored eggs, and cartoon bunnies. Easter is the cornerstone of the Christian faith, the celebration of Jesus rising from the grave, conquering death, and giving us peace with God, a purpose for life, and the promise of heaven. That's what today is really all about. That's why we're here. That's why this building exists. That's why we sing. That's why I preach. That's why we have children's ministry downstairs. That's why we have a youth ministry that gathers on a Friday night. And then we offer so many numerous life groups. We do all of this because of Jesus. We live and move and have our being because of Jesus. And better yet, that makes us available to you, available for you, available to speak into you and share this wonderful news of Jesus. See, God loves you and me more than we'll ever know. He gave his one and only Son so that we could live forever with him. Apart from him, we die. With him, we live. If you want to experience the power of Easter, to have the peace of God and a purpose for life and a promise of heaven, I'd like to lead you in a conversation with God. In a conversation with God. That conversation, we usually call those kind of conversations with God in church circles, we call it prayer. It doesn't have to be a rigid, this is how you pray. It's a conversation like you would have with a friend. With somebody that is in front of you. This conversation leads to many conversations that will ensue afterwards. And if you're ready today and you're here and you're saying, hey, listen, I haven't made that transaction with Jesus yet. I have searched him out and he seems to be a good man and what an amazing teacher. And I've from what I've heard today, he made some claims that just don't kind of fit in with just good teacher and good man. He made claims about himself that either he was a liar or a lunatic, or he actually is who he says he is. And listen, folks, you don't have to rely on my word about it, because for over two millennia, people have been talking about the empty grave. Have been talking about the empty grave for years. After Jesus rose from the dead, did you know that not only all of his disciples saw him, but 500 people in one gathering saw him? 500 people. And you know what we have to rely on this testimony? Well, how would we rely on any testimony? Well, somebody would have to record it somehow. See, when you look at the Bible, you can't look at it as just one book with one author. You can, and to a certain extent, if you want to make that author God. But it was written by many people. 40 different authors, 66 books. And all of them existed. All of them are talked about in history. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke came after the scene, and I love the book of Luke because the book of Luke is like the investigative journalism of their time going about it to prove the stories of Jesus. Jesus is real. Nobody will doubt that he was real. There are some that have questioned that he's alive. But we have eyewitnesses that testify, and we rely on those eyewitnesses, just like we would go to our history books and rely on history. But if you're here today and you're saying, hey, listen, you don't have to convince me any further. I want this Jesus. I want this Jesus. And listen, if you're here today and you're saying, I don't think I deserve Jesus because, you know, I'm at a real low point in my life right now, and I don't think it's fair to call on Jesus in such a low point. Maybe when I'm feeling a bit better, I'll come to Jesus. Let me just tell you something. I want to just relieve you right away. I have never met an adult coming to Jesus when everything was okay. I have never met an adult come to Jesus when everything is okay in their lives. They come to Jesus when their lives are falling apart, when they feel that there's something missing. The only people that I've ever witnessed in all my years, over 20 years of ministry, only people I've ever witnessed come to Jesus when it's good are children. Our children. Many of you, right, went to Sunday school, and you'd say, yeah, I became a Christian at Sunday school. Maybe stuff has happened since then, but I want to tell you something. There was a seed planted in our lives, and that is what has brought us to this point. But if you're here this morning, and you're saying, Pastor, I would like to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior, we're going to bow our heads together. We're going to close our eyes. And if you feel comfortable saying this with me to help some of those out that are maybe saying it for the very first time, I'd ask that you just repeat after me. If you don't feel comfortable in praying this prayer at all, then don't feel, there's no obligation. No obligation. All right? It goes something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner in need of your grace. And I ask for your forgiveness. I believe Jesus Christ is your son. I believe that he died for my sin and that you raised him to life. I want to trust him as my Savior and follow him as my Lord. From this day forward, guide my life and help me to do your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning, there's only one thing left to do. Tell somebody. Tell somebody about it. Tell somebody about it. Tell somebody. You can tell somebody beside you. You can call somebody up on the phone or text message them. Or maybe you want to tell a parent or a spouse or a close friend or a relative or one of our greeters. You can even tell me if you'd like. But tell somebody about a decision that you made. And then I want to encourage you to go into the next steps. The next steps is join a life group and find out more about Jesus and find out about more of his followers and what they do to enhance their life to live for him daily, right? If you need a Bible, I've got the perfect Bible for you. It doesn't have this cover, but I wish it did, the Bible for Dummies. I wish it did. I had somebody ask me if I had a Bible like that, and I do. It's called a New Believer's Bible, and it puts things in really plain English. And I always usually tell people when you read the Bible, you don't have to necessarily start at the beginning and work your way all through the end. But this is one of those books that the introduction part is so vital and critical to be read. You need to read those because it talks about how you can know God. And then it talks more about who God is and who Jesus is, what the devil is and what the angels are and what the demons are. But it talks about also cornerstones on how to live your life. And if you're here this morning and you don't have a local church to go to, start going to one. Start going to one. It doesn't have to be this one. We've got a Catholic church. If that's your flavor, there's a Lutheran church. If that's your mode, then go there. Go there. But just be around God's people because they will be a living Bible to you on how to live life. But also know this too, they're filled with imperfect people because guess what? You're not perfect either. Right? So don't depend on them to being the perfect example because only Jesus is that perfect example. And we're all works in progress, right? We're all works in progress. So tell somebody, get involved somehow and get to know more about this Jesus. And I want to tell you something. We had a structured prayer there. You don't have to pray that structured. You can say, Dear God, I need your help today. But I do want to suggest that whenever you close off your time with God, use the name above all names. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Because Jesus said in the Bible, he said these words. He said, whatever you ask for in my name, ask it. Whatever you need, ask for it in my name. In my name.